Keith, you ready for a Tatum revenge game?
I was ready. I was ready. But it's not about me, Jones. It's about Jason Tatum.
I'm still
waiting. About the Celtics. When did they play the Warriors again?
When's the next game? I thought we were circling this one.
I was. I circled it. I highlighted it. I made a little paper chain at the beginning of the season. I was ripping them down to see how many games until the Warriors game. I was ready. I was all in for the Warriors game. I apparently was alone.
Yeah, counting it down.
That was frustrating.
It was. That was quite frustrating.
It was not what I had planned.
And I'll tell you, I think Tatum, despite playing it cool after the game.
Cool-ish.
I think Tatum is a little frustrated. And as Celtics fans, I think you should be frustrated today.
Yeah.
That's what I think. But you let us know how you feel about
That's
it.
That's right.
Celtics
you tell
lose.
Us.
Yeah, you tell us.
You tell us.
Celtics lose 118-112 last night. And, you know, the idea that the grudge tour, the revenge tour, the FU game, the statement game, any of that. We talked about it all offseason.
Yeah.
We've talked about it really all week, but specifically yesterday. You didn't get anything you wanted last night out of that game. If you're a Celtics fan,
no.
They lose the game.
They lost the game.
Number one.
First and foremost, yep.
Tatum, I guess, did hit his over. Maybe you hit on like a prop or something.
Yeah.
But outside of a red-hot third quarter, I don't want to say invisible, but largely unimpressive. And you got nothing for Steve Kerr other than a little bit of booing him. And I knew Jason Tatum. We both knew. Everyone knows. He wasn't going to acknowledge Steve Kerr. He wasn't going to send any message to Steve Kerr. I do think he ignored.
Literally didn't acknowledge him.
I think he ignored him after the game.
That's a little bit more of a story.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
So I think you got really nothing out of it as a Celtics fan last night.
It was super frustrating.
A lot of hype and a lot of frustration.
For me, like in the back of my mind, I'm also not super surprised. Even though I bet the over, and I guess technically he hit the over. Like he's a great player. And we had Turpin yesterday, and he said the same thing. He was like, I don't think he's going to go out of his way to make it about himself, but just no Jaylen Brown, the nature of the way the Celtics have played, the amount of scoring he's had this year, he could have 32, and it doesn't mean it's, you know, double birds to the coach and like looking over at him all the time. So it wasn't that, and it was such a slow start for him, which is different than what we've seen most of the season. He's usually gotten a lot of his points early, gotten a big lead for the team, then they kind of coast, and then he doesn't even play the fourth quarter. This was different, and he got off to a really slow start, has a monster third quarter, scores 17 points in the third quarter, and you're like, all right, here we go. That's what I was looking for. And then, you add that with the win, and you would have felt pretty good. But they lose the game. It doesn't seem like it's a next-level Tatum, right? And that it's funny when we talk about it because he's been all NBA the last couple – first team, all NBA mm-hmm. the last couple of seasons.
I mean, we said yesterday through eight games or whatever, he's probably the MVP of the league.
But we also don't think he's going to win it.
No.
And so there's like that little – there's a line in between like MVP and then like first team all NBA. It's
yeah.
a thin line, but he's just on the other side of it. And what's funny to me is the guy he idolizes the most is Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant was one of the great, like, I am going to rip your throat out competitors that we've ever seen in sports.
Right. If that was Kobe last night and he was benched on the Olympic team.
Can you imagine if Kobe got benched in the Olympics and then played that coach the next time?
He would have gone for 80.
He would have scored 80 points and he would have stared at the guy yes. every single time down.
Yeah.
That's not Tatum. That's just not, which again is odd because he loves Kobe Bryant. But that part, like that mentality, the Black Mamba thing. It's not in him. He's an incredibly talented player. You know, people who didn't watch the game or like national people would be like, oh, Celtics lost to the Warriors. How'd he do? Oh, he had 32. Oh, yeah, it's, Tatum at 32. You know, like, oh, they lost. Warriors maybe better than we thought. You know, we can get into that too. But he doesn't have that. Now, it didn't prevent them from winning a title last year. I honestly don't think it'll prevent him from winning a title this year, but he doesn't have that same kind of killer instinct.
Like, to me, I don't have any, like, big picture takeaways. Like, the Celtics are in trouble if they play the Warriors or anything like that. You know, they didn't have Jaylen Brown, obviously, last night. But they were favored. A lot of us were picking them to win the game.
I was surprised by the outcome. 100% I was surprised
by
the outcome.
And so it's like, okay, they didn't have Jaylen. You can't go into the game when they're favorites saying they're going to win. They're going to beat the Warriors. Tatum's going to go for 50. And then after the game, shrug your shoulders and go, oh, well, you know, whatever. It was just one game in November and they didn't have Jaylen Brown or Porzingis. That's wildly inconsistent. So to me, I don't have any big sweeping takeaways. Let's just grade last night for what it was. You got nothing out of it. You thought Tatum was going to go for 40, 45, 50. Mm-hmm. He didn't. He looked timid. He looked scared to start the game. After the game, you didn't get any bomb throwing at Steve Kerr. In game, you didn't get any looks or gestures towards Steve Kerr. You booed the crap out of him as Celtics fans. You booed Draymond Green. Tatum didn't even acknowledge it. So you didn't even get that. And on top of it, the Celtics lose. You got nothing out of it. Do you think it was in his head to start the game, Keith?
Yeah.
Me too.
I think it matters. I know, you know, some people are texting in like, oh, he doesn't care. Like, he doesn't care.
No, he says he doesn't care.
There's a huge difference there. I think he doesn't want to make it a huge thing. But let's be honest. The guy is one of the best players in the NBA, goes to the Olympics, and sits on the bench and watches the team for two of the six games. That doesn't bother him. So even if he's not to the extreme of Kobe or Jordan and that kind of mentality, he's still gotten this far. Like, he's still obviously very competitive. Did he say good game to Steve Kerr after the game?
No, in fact, okay. I think there was a really good... I don't know, were you watching NBC or ESPN last night?
I actually watched both.
Okay.
Where
were you watching at the end?
At the ESPN at the end.
Okay. I was watching the ESPN feed at the end.
Yep.
No offense, Scal, who we'll get to later on. Clapping back at Perk. You know.
That's a better rivalry than Celtics-Warriors right now.
It might be. No offense, but I was watching ESPN last night. I thought there was a good angle on ESPN. I don't know how it looked if you were watching on NBC. You could see Kerr walking down off the bench. Like, you could see him.
Yeah.
Tatum is dapping up Steph Curry. He's giving big hugs to Steph Curry.
Because usually, you know me, I'm anti-sportsmanship. So if you lose the game and you just walk off the court, bless you. I don't care.
Yeah.
But if you're going to hug and kiss Steph Curry.
Which I thought was weird in real time. It's like, that you're dapping this guy up?
He loves Curry.
Okay, fine. But it was weird might be the wrong word. Noteworthy in real time. I'm like, he's dapping up Curry. There's a lot of love there.
Derek White goes over and gives Steve Kerr a smooch.
Yeah.
They were talking for a minute.
So did Drew Holiday. I didn't realize that. Terp tweeted that out last night.
Two gold medalists.
From the Garden.
Yep.
Yeah, Holiday, Derek White, they go over and dap up Steve Kerr. You can see on the ESPN feed, Kerr is walking down the bench while Tatum is dapping up Curry. He kind of looks down that way. I think Kerr's looking for him.
Probably. Maybe make a little eye contact.
And Tatum beelines out.
Yep.
So don't tell me he doesn't care.
I think he does.
He tells me he doesn't care. He pretends that he doesn't care, but he cares. And he's a human being, and of course he cares. He should care about it.
I don't blame him at all.
I absolutely would care about it, which is why I wanted a little more emotion out of him, which is why I wanted him to show that frustration and take it out on Kerr, and he didn't. And I agree with you, Keith. I think it was in his head to start the game. He looked timid. He looked scared.
But then, you know, his just overall insane talent kind of takes over in the third quarter, right? Like, so that's the thing is
third quarter was incredible.
I mean, it's 17 points and you're like, he couldn't miss. And like
17, 5 out of 7, 4 of 6 from three. He missed a free throw, but he was 3 of 4 on free throws. Celtics won the quarter by 10.
I was going to say, massive quarter. They score 41 as a team. They beat the Warriors soundly in the quarter. And you're like, all right, here we go. Because at that point, as a fan, I want Tatum to have a monster night, but you also want them to beat the Warriors. That's the best message you can send. And, you know, especially the fans are all over Draymond, you know, Kerr to a certain degree. But then they lose. Then they lose the game. And also Tatum was a part of that, too. Like, there was a play in the fourth quarter. Like, they lost Steph Curry a couple of times, which I don't know how you do that.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think you'd have maybe 3 guys on Curry, not 0 guys on Curry. But there's one play that Jason Tatum is on Buddy Hield, and he just, like, leaves. He just got up and walked away.
I thought he had 2 terrible defensive possessions in the fourth quarter.
Like, that's him being in his head. Nobody looks at him and is like, oh, that guy is like, you know, Kawhi Leonard defensively. But
no, but he is a good defensive player.
He can be.
Yeah.
Like, he's a big athletic guy. Like, he can be good defensively. And it wasn't like he got beat, you know,
that
he got crossed up. It was like he fell asleep and just like he was in his own head. He
the
like wandered
play
away.
Was brutal. It
was, what was that?
47 seconds left. It's a wide open three. It
and
makes
then,
it
at
a
that
three
point,
possession game.
At that point, I was watching ESPN, so I don't know if NBC ripped him for it. I'm guessing they didn't. But ESPN like didn't even say a word.
Drew Carter must have dug in deep.
I bet he smoked him.
Yeah.
But even the ESPN crew was just like, oh, like, you know, that's what happens when you double Curry. I'm like, he didn't double Curry. No, he like got lost.
He
like,
stood in no man's land.
He like stood straight up and walked in the direction of Curry away from Buddy Hield, who shoots 50% from three. So there's like, as much as the revenge game, grudge match, all that, it was also a good basketball game, and it was one that they could have won in the fourth quarter, and they just kind of fell asleep defensively several times.
I thought he gave Curry a wide open three earlier in the quarter too. So I didn't think Tatum, outside of the third quarter, I don't think Tatum played well. 3-7, 93-7. 30 plus points, unimpressive for Tatum. Okay. The only people talking revenge game were you guys in the media. I don't think he gives a crap. I know I don't.
But
that's a lie. Fans didn't care about this. All we heard all offseason when he
Olympic
got benched
thing.
In the Olympics
yes.
is, it's a grudge match. Look out for Steve Kerr. Circle November 6th.
It's like, okay for him to care, by
okay.
the way. And it's okay for us to care.
I think Tatum cares. I know fans care.
No, I know.
And yes, 30-plus points was unimpressive last night. Yep. Uh-huh. It was. More text. 3-7, 93-7. Where is it? Timid and scared. Jones trolling, maybe.
No.
Here we go. You only said it because the callers said it. Apparently, the Warriors penciled in this game. Blah blah blah.
Like, well, the Warriors are pretty good. Like the I didn't give the Warriors as a team enough credit.
This is the one I was looking for. I'm sorry.
All right.
I think we, the fan, and the media make way more of this than he actually does. It's in his head, but I don't think he cares one way or the other. Blah blah blah. So can we hear some Jason Tatum? I want to hear some Jason Tatum.
Jason Tatum after the game. So rather than us trying to guess what he, you know, what, how he feels, so we hear right from the guy.
I think for everyone who says he doesn't care. Okay, fine. Let's listen to Tatum and let's make up our own minds on this. Now, he started off the press conference by saying it's just another Wednesday. It's just another game. Does anyone believe that?
No.
Okay, I don't believe that. That's how he started.
And also, it shouldn't be put the Olympics to the side.
Yeah.
Do you think every game in an NBA season is the same?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
Do you think the players...
Steph Curry, who beat you in the finals a couple of years ago on the other side. Yeah, that's a different game. Sorry.
One of the greatest players of all time who beat you in the NBA finals is on the other side.
Yep.
Let alone a guy like Draymond Green who also beat you in the NBA finals, who you're friends with. So if you want to get, you know, get fired up to play your friends, that's fine too. And, you know, even like primetime national TV game, these guys care more about. Remember we used to always talk about the Rondo on TNT?
Yeah.
His stats were like double what they were every other night. So it's not just you're starting off with a lie if you say it's a regular Wednesday game.
So good, I agree. Here's Tatum. Let me hear Tatum one, Nick, if I can, on the aspect of getting your revenge against the Warriors and the stakes of the game.
I mean, that's part of this job. That's what I've been dealing with my entire career. People want me to be, you know, louder. People want me to be meaner or whatever. One thing about Jason is like I'm always gonna do what the I want to do.
Let's jump in. What are you snickering at there?
Third person? We're doing third person now?
Yeah, well, he is. Jason is.
I think Ricky Henderson can do third person, and he's the best at it. Everybody else, like, it just is outrageous to me. It's hard to take anybody seriously that uses third person in a non-kind of funny way.
I'm the greatest of all time.
So he actually said I'm in that point, but Ricky usually would say, like, in other interviews, you're like, Ricky does this, Ricky's going to steal bases, Ricky's going to do this.
Tatum doesn't
do that.
Or,
like, Jimmy from Seinfeld.
Yeah, yeah,
you know? Jimmy likes his chicken spicy.
Yeah.
Or George likes his chicken spicy.
Tatum doesn't go third person often.
Usually not.
I don't think so. I listen to a lot of Tatum press conferences.
It's hard to take him seriously because you're like, is he talking about Jason Tatum?
It just tells you he's uncomfortable with the whole thing.
He's definitely uncomfortable.
He's in his head about the whole thing. He's going full Jason.
Hard to get behind the third person thing,
it's
though.
Like, you know, sometimes, Keith, you freak out a little bit in uncomfortable situations. Sometimes you go vote, you high five.
Yeah, that's happened.
Sometimes you do a handshake, you grab the wrist.
Accidentally.
Sometimes in like an uncomfortable situation, you get in your own head. I think that's why Tatum went third person.
Keith wanted the Celtics to win last night. Didn't happen.
Jones plunked down some hands. Let's hear it.
One thing about Jason is like, I'm always going to do what the f*** I want to do and approach things how I want to approach it and what I feel is sincere to who I am as a person.
So can you stop for a second? So I like Tatum, right? And I'm going to do like what I think, like what is sincere. Remember all the memes that were going around last year after they won the title? And all he did was paraphrase other champions.
Mm-hmm.
Like he basically quoted Kevin Garnett. He quoted LeBron. He quoted Kobe. He quoted everybody. He didn't have like an original quote in there.
Oh, you're talking about like actually they after when they won and he did his Garnett thing? Well, like
all of it.
Yeah,
there was memes on top of memes. Like, everything was like, does this guy have his quote? Like he was just like quoting things. Like a Quentin Tarantino movie. He was just like going through and like quoting other stuff. It was all homages to other stuff. And I honestly think, here's my Keefspiracy on this.
Yeah.
Did you see the other day in a post-game locker room, somebody asked Anthony Edwards, they're like, what do you say to people who think like, you take too many threes? F them. And everybody laughed and it was funny. And it was like, that was
so
how he felt. Yes. I think he stole it from him.
You think he's like, oh, Anthony Edwards is acting all tough and so I'm going to do
that. But people liked it.
Yeah, yeah.
People liked it and they're like, look at all he's being himself.
That's a good Keefspiracy.
I don't think Tatum knows what to say still. And I think he just kind of parrots other people.
Interesting.
That's my point.
Yeah. And then he goes full third person. Yep. Okay, we'll get through this. Yeah. Let's hear it.
Sincere to who I am as a person. And not that it comes from a bad place. Some people, you know, sometimes it comes from a good place. And, you know, but people react differently or it's easy to say, like, you know, if they were in my shoes, what they would do. So, you know, I appreciate when it comes from a good place. But like I said, I'm always going to react, respond, approach things the way I want to.
Okay.
He doesn't swear a lot in post-game press conferences, does he?
I think he'll curse you. He doesn't curse like that, where he's like cursing at someone.
Okay.
Or like, I don't give he's going to do it again coming up. I'm sorry. But the idea of like He might use an F word here and there. I haven't heard too many of them. I don't think he typically uses it the way he used it last night. So anyway, like people second guessing you. What do you think about that, Tatum?
Use my language, but you just learn to not give a f-.
Double down.
Very, yeah. You know, I'm comfortable in my own skin. I'm comfortable with the things I've accomplished. I know who I am. And, you know, I'm comfortable with making my own decisions the way I want to make them and doing things the way I want to. You know, maybe when you're younger, you're very consumed or concerned with pleasing people that you don't know or things like that. And, you know, if I do things the way I want to do it, and I can live with the result or, in every situation. And, you know, that's where I'm at in my life.
I just think great player, one of the five best players in the NBA. And, you know, that killer instinct kind of thing isn't there. And, you know, he may prove to go down as one of the all-time greats that doesn't have it. Maybe he doesn't need it. Like, if he still didn't have a title, it'd be a much bigger talker. He has a title. He has a title. For we want, you know, this giant revenge game and that kind of thing. I don't think it's in him. Now, there's two different things. I think he never, even if he scored 50, he wasn't going to glare at Kerr. He wasn't going to grab his throat. He wasn't going to do it. He doesn't do that. But I
wanted him to, but he would never
do that. No. Yeah. And so I wasn't expecting that. But I think he obviously wanted to win this game really badly, and I think he wanted to probably play a little bit better. I know the final numbers are good. He had a monster third quarter. You can't take that away from him. But I think he's got to be a little discouraged about how it went down. And then him walking away from Steve Kerr, like, if you really don't care about it that much, your other two Olympic teammates said what up to him and good game. Like, well,
he played them.
You stormed away on it. Yeah. So that's a little bit different.
So I think he blew off Kerr after the game, and I hate to say this because I can't stand Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
Last night's a win for Kerr. And I don't mean literally in the box score. The Warriors won the game.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he had a good game plan for Tatum.
Yeah.
He flustered Tatum.
They threw a lot of people at him. They threw Draymond at him a lot. Okay. Double teams at him a lot.
I thought Wiggins, I meant to double check these
Andrew
numbers.
Wiggins.
I thought Wiggins did a real good job on Tatum. They blitzed him. They got the ball out of his hands. They made him uncomfortable to start. Tatum blew up for one quarter. He's a great player. He's going to have good quarters here and there. But largely, I didn't think Tatum impacted the game the way we expected him to.
I mean, he essentially, like, his greatest 32 points. I'm not trying to minimize 32 points, but that's essentially his average, right? So if you're looking at, Warriors game, circle the game, game.
His over-under last night was 30.5, so he barely went over.
Yeah, yeah. So, that's what he's kind of accustomed to doing.
That's what you expect, yeah. What you expect out of Tatum these days. And so I hate to say it, score one for Kerr last night.
Ugh.
And on top of that, I was criticizing this on social media. It is gross, Keith.
Yeah.
I was criticizing this on social media. I'm like, when are you going back to Curry, you moron? When are you going to go back to – how long are you going to staple Curry to the bench?
Oh, yeah.
I think it was like the 8.5-minute mark. He went back to Curry. And Curry in those situations. Tatum right now, Keith, is a better player than Curry. Is that fair to say?
Tatum greater than Curry,
okay,
yes.
Who would you rather have, Tatum or Curry? I'd rather have Tatum. Who would you rather have
last
in the
minute of a game?
Fourth quarter.
I'd be Curry. I'd take Curry over anybody in the league in the last minute of a game.
I mean, the show he put on at the Olympics was incredible.
He played. And he was terrifying.
And he was terrifying, and it was an unbelievable
show.
He
still has that in him.
He did it last. If you didn't think he still had it in him,
he
did it last night. And so, to me, score one for Curry, score one for Kerr, score one for the Warriors, who look like a true championship contender. I'm not saying I take the Warriors over the Celtics in a series,
but they're better than I thought.
They look legit.
Yeah, I kind of ruled them out of the West, which was a mistake. They look pretty
tough.
Where
do we have them on our tiers? We can find that, but like, where do we have them on our tiers? I didn't believe in that team at all.
No.
They looked great last night.
They were probably in the whatever the tier was for like one player to watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Curry. But yeah, they're better than that.
I didn't believe in that team. I knew what their record was going into the game. I knew what their scoring differential was. We talked about it. Early on in that first quarter, you looked at it and go, oh, man, that's a real team. They're back. And it doesn't mean they're greater than the Celtics. Doesn't mean the Celtics aren't going to raise Banner 19. But they got a team that was engaged. They got a team that got into Tatum last night and defended him and bothered him. And is that a lesson for other teams? I'm curious about that. What'd you guys think of Tatum's night? 617-779-7937. Were the Warriors in his head? Was Steve Kerr in his head? We'll get to all of that here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. A lot of ways you can get in touch with the show. We gave you the phone number. You can text us 37937 on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can also chat there. Healthy chat, as always, going on. And watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI.
I don't give it a whole lot of thought other than, I didn't enjoy you know, not playing Jason against Serbia, not playing Joel against South Sudan. Those are not fun decisions, but our guys were all amazing. They committed to each other. They committed to winning the gold medal. They brought the gold home for their country. They all handled themselves with incredible dignity and class. And that's the real story.
Speaking of not believing people, that's not the real story.
Steve Kerr, I don't know, you won a gold medal.
You want to know what I think the real story is?
What's the real story? Why don't you tell us what the real story is?
I think Kerr probably knew. What's going to be the fallout from Jason Tatum?
Oh, you think that's what it was?
I mean, I just wonder.
No, I honestly think they played in the exhibition games.
Yeah.
And he didn't fit. He didn't work right with them.
I mean, Tatum, whether he fit or not, did not play well in the Olympics when he played.
Exactly.
Agree with that. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Even when he was given a chance in those games, and he got more. When he did play, his minutes were higher than a lot of the other guys, right? Like, so his overall minutes per game were sort of middle of the pack, mm-hmm. even though he straight up sat for two games. He wasn't that great. Same with Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid stuck out like a sore thumb. And then you put in Anthony Davis or Bam Adebayo, and you're like, oh, that looks better.
But Embiid does make more sense, and I agree with you more on like the not fitting thing.
Yeah.
Because you see more stationary bigs like that get phased out in the international game. You even see it every single day in the NBA, not a player of Embiid's caliber.
Yeah, Tatum's game should cross over pretty easily.
So to me, I just wonder if he's like, look, there's a lot of big egos on this team. Tatum's one that there's just not going to be a lot of blowback. If I sit LeBron, I'm never going to hear the end of it.
He was not going to ever sit LeBron. He's not going to sit his guy. No, my theory is the Western Conference, Eastern Conference
thing.
Well,
so maybe it's
some of that. So even if he does get a little bark from him, it's like, I play him once.
Maybe it's some of that, but don't you see? Like, even if Tatum really, I think Tatum does care. I only think that, I don't know that. I know fans care. Like, again, we're getting so many texts. How do you know, Jones, that fans care? I don't know. I've been hearing from you guys since the summer how pissed you are about sitting Tatum.
I think it should be a revenge game.
We had the game circled. We talked about it all day yesterday. People were like, he's going to score 40. No, 40. He's going to score 50.
Do you think?
He's going to, you know, he's going to show up Steve Kerr out there.
Well, no, I didn't think he was going to do that.
No,
nobody thought he was going to show him up, though.
Okay,
nobody ever thought, like, that's not him. He's not going to, like, with the
gesture. Not with a gesture or anything like that, but show him up and embarrass him.
I thought they were
going
to win the game.
By going off. Yeah, at least winning the game. And he did none of that. So I just wonder if Kerr's like, you know what? Tatum's the kind of guy who he's not going to be upset if I wrong him. He's not going to be outwardly upset about it, which is true.
As a baseline, do you think, this is the general question, do you think that Jaylen Brown is upset that he wasn't on the team?
Yes.
Okay. I think that's pretty fair. So do we think
we know he's expressed it.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, all right, so if a guy can be upset about the Olympics, right, because that's what it's sort of, I think some fans are like, well, it's not like their team or whatever.
Just the Olympics.
Just the Olympics. Okay, so he was mad that he wasn't on the team. And I know there's somewhat apples to oranges, but let's just leave that to the side. All right, he's upset about not being on the team. All right, another guy who just won an NBA title is on the team. Oh, by the way, played on the 2020, which became the 2021 Olympics, when guys like Curry and LeBron didn't want to play because of COVID. Mm-hmm. They were terrified to travel. He went and played for Team USA and played really well and was like their second best player. You think him agreeing to come back and now taking a back seat to all those other guys, you think he likes that?
Yeah. Does Jason Tatum like sitting, by the way? Didn't it just come out that he requested a trade his rookie year because he thought he was going to play behind Gordon Hayward?
No, obviously he wants to play. He felt like he should play. So, yeah, I don't know why he wants to handle it this way. And it's funny, like, you might have almost fooled some people if you actually went and said, like, good game to Steve Kerr after the game, but you lost. And you hugged Steph Curry for a while, and then you stormed off the floor. So obviously it matters. It should matter.
I got to rewatch it. I might be over-dramatizing this. It wouldn't be the first time. I feel like he kind of looked at Kerr, and they kind of like locked eyes a little bit, and he was like, whoop, beeline the other way.
Text line's right. If Jaylen Brown had played, and I know Steve Kerr wasn't like the whole committee, but he would be sort of the face of it for not making Team USA, you're more likely for Jaylen Brown to have a monster game and stare over at him and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Way more likely.
Yeah. I mean, I think Tatum, it was in his head. If you think saying he was scared is too strong, he felt timid and scared to me. But if you think that's too strong, fine. I think we can all agree it was in his head to start the game. He started the game poorly, and he played timidly. So I think Kerr, I hate to say it, I don't like Steve Kerr. I can't stand Steve Kerr. Score one for Kerr last night.
Yeah.
His team won. He had a good scheme for Tatum. He pushed the right buttons down the stretch. You know, he had good rotations. I was questioning it in real time. I thought he waited too long to go back to Curry. He went back to Curry, and Curry took over the fourth quarter because that's what Curry does.
He plays so many players. It's insane, which, again, is hilarious. Terp brought that up. You can't play 12 guys in the Olympics, but the Warriors play 12 guys every single night, like 10-plus minutes, 11-plus minutes.
Can't figure out a way to do it in the Olympics with the best players on earth. But, no, he just has to find a way to play that water scrub last night or Gary Payton's kid or whoever else a bunch of minutes in these games.
So maybe it was 11 guys last night, but still, even the 11th guy played 14 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
It's something that he clearly knows how to do, and he chose not to do it with Tatum. Yep. And I know you guys are pissed about it. You can pretend today that you don't care because you don't want to be hurt. That's fine. But if you want to vent about it, this is the place to do it. 617-779-7937. Real quick, Keith.
Yeah.
We touched on this very briefly in that opening segment. I think the Warriors are championship caliber. And so last night was more of a measuring stick game than I expected. I didn't believe in the Warriors going into that game. I know the Celtics didn't have Jaylen Brown, so I'm not saying it was like a perfect test. They don't have Porzingis, but who knows if they'll have Porzingis by the NBA Finals. Brown, I'll give you. Porzingis, eh. You look at the Warriors last night. That's a team that will defend, which surprised me.
Yep.
That's a team that I think their shooting got better, and they still have a killer out there in Steph Curry at the end of the game. I'm not saying this will be the NBA Finals. Could be Oklahoma City. Could be Minnesota. There's a lot of good teams out west. Golden State is on the Celtics level in terms of NBA contenders. The Celtics are a better team.
Yeah, no, they're
I'd
good.
I'd pick them in a seven-game series.
Oh, yeah, Celtics are still better.
I wouldn't be shocked if that's a rematch in June.
Yeah, I guess I'd still be surprised, but they're way better than I thought. So I'll give them that. But I didn't consider them a contender. I thought, oh, there's maybe five contenders in the West. So the one thing they have going against them versus what the Celtics will have is if the Warriors make the finals, that's three really tough series. You know, like that means they have to beat Denver, Minnesota, Oklahoma City or something like that. I don't think the Celtics will have to go through that kind of murderer's row. But, yeah, swapping out the corpse of Klay Thompson for Buddy Hield, that's a huge swing.
It's a big upgrade.
A big swing. And Steph Curry still nails. So regardless of his age, he's still one of the 5 or 10 best players in the league, the best closer in the league. And they don't have that obvious second-best player, but they kind of make up for it by playing 10, 11 guys. And like every guy that goes out there plays defense. They don't shoot as many threes as the Celtics do, but they make a pretty good percentage. So, yep. Yeah, they're a tough team. I don't think they're going to the finals, but they're way better than I thought.
One more text quick before we hit the phone. 617-779-7937. The idea that Kerr outcoached Mazzulla, I guess I do agree with. I do think Mazzulla adjusted, though, to his credit.
I also think some of the lapses were player lapses. Like, I'm not yelling at Mazzulla for Jason Tatum just like falling asleep on defense.
Yeah.
Like, is that Mazzulla's fault?
Or the 10 turnovers in the first half?
Yeah, I don't know if that's Mazzulla's fault. I'll say you give Kerr credit, he had a good scheme, but I don't think like Mazzulla was like,
that's how I feel.
Had no answers.
And Mazzulla adjusted, and that's part of why Tatum went off in the third quarter. Like, I give Tatum credit for that.
Yeah.
But he also, you know, he started running Tatum away from those double teams and, you know, giving him opportunity to get some space away from the Warriors blitzing him.
Yeah.
And so I didn't think Mazzulla had a bad night is my only point. But I think Kerr, I hate to say it, had a really good game plan. Let's start it off tonight, or this afternoon, rather, tonight, with our buddy Tommy and Lynn. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, what's up, Jones? What's up, Keith?
Hey, Tommy.
Love the show.
Thank you.
All right, this is what I got to say. Who cares if they lost because they were out Jaylen Brown and Porzingis?
Well, they were favored.
This is a kid who stepped up, Quintar. Quintar had a lot of minutes, but the thing is, I wanted him back in towards the end, take Al Horford out and put him back in because this kid, Quintar, dunking, making blocks. He's a beast, Jones. You like Quintar?
Okay, so let me give the floor
love
to Keith.
This guy.
Keith is a fan
love
of
him.
Namus Keita, is who
Keita.
We're talking about. Yeah,
Keita. Yeah, we're all around it.
Yes.
So this is how good this guy's going to be. We're all going to have to learn his name. You know, last year he'd play a little bit, and you're
like whatever.
Look, I really need to nail this pronunciation. Yeah. I don't think you really did last year. This year, you do, and Tommy's right on the money again. He was a plus 13 in the game last night, far and away the team's leader in plus minus. You probably could have gone to him a little bit more. I love him just dunking around the basket. He had a great block on Curry, came flying over and swatted a shot from Curry. No, I think he's legitimately a useful player. I think he's going to be a guy that will be in the playoff rotation. I think he is greater than the murder Cornet. And Luke Kornet, every once in a while, runs into a good game. But Keita, they like more.
I poo-pooed that the other day.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't even think Keita's going to be in the playoff rotation.
Oh, yeah.
Because
guy might start.
It's going to be Horford, maybe Porzingis. And I would have played Kornet. Now I'm rethinking that one for sure. And Kornet got hurt last night. The one thing Tommy's incorrect about, I do think Keita played a lot in the end of the game.
He played 20. The end of the game.
I think he was out there from like, I think he played a good chunk at the beginning of the fourth quarter from 4:18 to inside of a minute. I think he was out.
He played under 9 minutes in the fourth quarter. So he did play a good amount.
So he was out there a lot at the end of the game. It's the only thing I would quibble with. But Namus Keita was good. And by the way, I know they didn't have Jaylen Brown. They were favored. They were favored in that game, so like, let's not pretend like they shouldn't have won or they couldn't. They were up.
But we're also not saying they would lose a series to the Warriors. We both think if it was a seven-game series, this go-around, they're going to beat the Warriors.
But they also were up 11 in that game. They were up 7 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. They should have won. Like, if you're just talking about the game and taking Tatum and Kerr out of it and just, all right, here is a
Jaylen's a massive absence, obviously.
Obviously.
But they should have won that game last night.
I still think they're better than the Warriors. Yeah. That's the thing about the Celtics and why I still think they could make a run at 70 wins. I think you take away one or even two of their six best players, they're still better than the team that they're playing almost every night.
Calvin is in Georgetown. Go ahead, Calvin.
All right. You guys see what happened last night with only Curry. If they put Giannis or Durant going back, it's a wrap.
Okay, so the Warriors getting Giannis?
Wait, when? When are they getting Giannis?
I don't think that's happening.
No. This is kind of their squad, right? I mean, they could always make another trade, but they got... it's weird to play 11 guys the way that they do, but it seems to be working for them.
Yeah, I don't know that I believe in that in a playoff series.
I don't think you can, right. But then again, like, who would you say is their second best
player?
Okay,
so I was thinking about this. I do think it's Wiggins, but...
I think it's Buddy Hield. But either way, I think it's a debate.
Wiggins didn't look 100%... He played well, but he didn't look 100% healthy. That one layup that he blew looked like he just had no explosion in his knees.
Yeah.
Like, I'll do that. And when I play pickup, I'll do that every once in then where I go to jump and my knees just don't work.
Yeah.
He's such
a weird number one overall pick.
He is.
He's just like,
but
he's a good player, but he's their
second best player. Obviously, Draymond's their second biggest name.
But Wiggins
is
not an all-star, right?
No.
And neither is Hield. Neither at this point is Draymond. So you have Steph Curry. You know, a lot of teams around the league, it's like two superstars, right? We had that run where it was trios. Almost everybody needed a trio. And then maybe because of the Celtics, they sort of started that trend. And then everybody was copying that. Now it seems like it's more duos and trying to get... It's Curry. It's Curry and like a bunch of guys. And so come playoff time, I don't really know if you'd want to elevate Moses. Like, is Moses Moody going to get more time? Or like, I think Gary Payton second.
Yeah, you want to trim that.
Again, not to be confused with Gary Payton Jr.
No.
These are two different humans.
Sure. When I said Gary Payton's kid earlier, that was confusing.
Gary Payton the second. Yeah. Very, very different.
617-779-7937.
Moses Moody.
What is that?
I think you have to unplug him and plug him back in.
What? What is that even
from? That's from a few years
ago. Yeah, I think he got electrocuted. He was trying to say Moses Moody. It is a tongue twister. It is a tongue twister.
It was from the finals of 2022.
Wow. I was unaware of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched those games. We'll get to your feedback here coming up on the Celtics. How'd you feel about Tatum's quote-unquote revenge game? I know now you all pretend to not care. What'd you think of Steve Kerr last night? Will the Celtics eventually get even with him in something like the NBA Finals? You can jump in again on the phones. Plus, we should get to Scal clapping back at Perk yesterday.
What a rivalry.
Right here on WEEI. Wow. We'll do it next.
And by the way, I'm not going to go out there and post or anything. I have the text message screenshots of me and Perk, me saying, hey, Perk, I really would love for you to be there, man. This is going to be awesome. But I think you should reach out to Joe and just apologize. Just give him like a, hey, man, you've done a great job. I'm really sorry. And he, like, took that and he's making it like this. So I think it's a massive distraction from him to say, yeah, I called Joe Mazzulla a terrible name. I called him an idiot. And you can criticize what a coach does. You can criticize what a player does. Like, the general rule is don't call people stupid. And then don't go down that road. And because of that, and I don't know if he feels bad about it or he thinks that people are going to believe him, that he's now making this about me. It's not about me. This is not about me. And if anybody actually thinks this is about me, I feel bad for you.
I listened to this whole interview yesterday, Keith.
Yeah, same.
They did a good job. Arkand and Hart, WEEI Afternoons, every day at 2 here on WEEI. They did a good job. They played the Perk audio for Scal.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So you can't do the, I didn't hear it, even though you obviously heard it.
But it also, I think, so there's that. I think it also fired Scal up a little bit.
A little bit. Poked him a little bit.
Like that line about having to put his uniform back on to go take pictures with everybody, I think got under Scal's...
I mean, that's an insane line. That's almost like a, you can't come back from this line.
Yeah,
That was almost a kill shot.
In the
beef game, there's something called kill shots. That was kind of a kill shot.
Yeah. Scal attempted to come back. I'm not sure he did, but he attempted it.
And listen, Scal every Wednesday here on WEEI, everybody enjoys that. But I feel like Perk won this one. I feel like Perk, I know you have text messages, but you're not going to show them. Mm-hmm. Okay. Also,
yo, who phone? Who this?
Also, when you say, like, you crossed a line by saying he's stupid,
He said he called him an idiot, which is not true. He didn't call him an idiot.
He did his lame line about the bird flying backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a line to cross? Like, we talk every day.
We talk
about people all the time.
You put a brain in the bird, it would fly backwards.
If I just straight up said, you're stupid, would you be like, oh my God, you just crossed the line?
No.
Not at all.
No.
I think if you want to play this game, like, talking about somebody else's kids is probably the only real, and maybe wife if they're not like a public figure. Like, other than that, like, everything else is kind of fair game. It's not the worst thing in the world. But like, if a coach does something stupid, you're like, oh, that guy's stupid. It's not the end of the world. It's not like, oh, those are fighting words. It's like, give me a break. In fact, Joe Mazzulla is the one that's like, hey, do you want to like get together and like have him like talk about this? And Perk's like, yes, I do. But then meanwhile, it's like this feud between Perk and Scal is kind of funny.
Yeah. So if Scal, and again, this is just to paraphrase what went down yesterday, but if Scal is like texting you, he's like, hey, man, just reach out to Joe and apologize. I wouldn't do that either.
I'd be like, I'd be why? Like,
yeah, I'd be like, okay, like, yeah, right.
For being on TV,
I'll talk to him.
And like trying to be entertaining.
If he wants to talk, I'll talk to him and he can say his piece and I'll say mine. I'm not going to text him out of the blue and be like, hey, remember that thing I said 6 months ago that I don't even think was that offensive?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm sorry.
Why does Scal have to be the middleman on this?
I don't know. And so
kind of inserts himself in there.
I'd be curious. Scal said he's not going to post the text, but he did read some of them. You know, yeah. Love you, Scal, and Buntu, or whatever he claims Perk texted him. And so,
Buntu?
You know, Buntu. Maybe.
We'll always have the duck boats. In 08, not in 2024, because you weren't invited.
I also think Scal is being disingenuous about people thinking it's about Scal. It's not. No one thinks it's about you, Scal. No one thinks you were in control of who was being led on the duck boats. You're just the one who let the cat out of the bag that the team hates Perk. No one thinks you made that call.
Right.
No one honestly believes that. So that's just like this straw man from Scal. Like, oh, like I'm in charge of the duck. Yeah. I'm like the duck boat bouncer. Yeah. No one thinks that.
You know what's amazing?
We just think you let the cat out of the bag about how the team, Joe Mazzulla, and some of the players really feel. Which I think is an interesting insight into the team's mindset. That's all.
So you have the 2008 Ubuntu team, as you mentioned, and they had this great chemistry. And then a couple years later, I was going to say, these two hate each other. You had Ray Allen for years with Garnett and Pierce all hated each other. Yeah. It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, I don't. Ray and Rondo did not get along whatsoever.
I don't believe they did. No, no, they did not. You got Big Baby Davis doing whatever he's doing. there was a lot going on that team. Maybe in hindsight, we have to give Doc Rivers more credit than I would say not. He kept those guys together for one year.
If anything, that man gets an inordinate amount of credit
for
a really, really, really talented team. Like, how do you win with that team? How do you win with Garnett and Pierce and Ray Allen? No, the question is, how didn't they win more?
Is it Twitch chat talking to us? Would you say this to Scal? What, that he lost the argument with Perk? Yes, I would say that. I would say that to Scott.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever heard.
I wouldn't call him stupid because I don't want to, cross a line.
I don't know if you ever heard Jones and Mego. I did plenty of arguing with Scal. I had plenty of getting yelled at and plenty of arguing back with Scal.
No, that's fine. I mean, from what we've heard, Perk and then this, so far, again, hard to come back from the line that Perk had. If you're Scal and you want to win this, you probably do have to post the tweets
or the
text.
I just think when Scal says, I'm in charge of the duck boats. No, you're not in charge of the duck boats. The team doesn't like Perk. Why? And what does that say about the team? Maybe nothing. I mean, obviously, they're super talented and they're good enough to win a championship. So, like, I don't think it's going to preclude them from winning. They're still a little soft. The team's still a little soft.
Yeah, yeah.
It may not matter at the end of the day. They might win 3 championships in a row, keep raising banners, and they already won last year. But they're just a little soft, and this is evidence of that.
I don't think it has anything to do with Mazzulla, though. I really don't think Mazzulla cares.
Well, the Mazzulla comment is the one that keeps coming up, so obviously on some
you
level
think
he
Mazzulla
cares.
Cares?
Or do the players care on Mazzulla's behalf?
Yes, I think there's more of that. So, like, or that I think people in the organization care more than
that comment me. Gets referenced so much by Perk, and I think it's not he didn't call him an idiot. That's not what he said.
No.
So
no, but you know what I'm saying?
Maybe it's not Mazzulla. Maybe it's just the players being territorial about Mazzulla.
Yes,
maybe.
I think there's that. And maybe even front office people or people that would be involved in who actually is invited to these things or not. I think they might say, like, we're going to step in for the coach. Whereas Mazzulla's probably like, I mean, he would have some crazy quote that he would say. And if he actually wants to talk to Perk, I think he'd rather just do that than have everybody else do it for him.
Yeah.
So
that's apparently what Mazzulla did.
What a weird thing. Yeah,
according to Perk.
Yeah.
According to Perk. So, like, look, maybe Perk's laying it on a little thick or he's being disingenuous.
There
I don't know.
Could be a stretching of the truth.
Right. But according to Perk, Mazzulla wants to break bread in Houston or wherever.
That?
And so good.
Have a nice meal of food.
We can all get past it. Is this the final chapter of Scal v. Perk? I don't think Perk's taking that lion down.
No, that's
something
true.
Tells me we'll get another installment.
Uh-huh.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on this. You're on Jones and Keefe. A lot of Celtics talk in the first hour of the show. We'll get to the Bruins. It is a Bruins Thursday. Andrew Raycroft of Nesson is going to join us at 1120, as he does each and every week here on the show. But coming up next, hot stove underway in Major League Baseball.
Oh, yeah.
You can feel it.
People won't shut up about it.
Oh, my gosh. Red Sox linked to this player, linked to that player. Pitching, Corbin Burns,
yes.
Bats, Juan Soto.
Could be a big offseason.
How active are they going to be? And what would constitute a successful offseason for the Red Sox? We'll get to it next.